Continuing coverage of the Success Village Saga now
on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
It's a 924-unit complex between Bridgeport and Stratford. You started hearing us talk about Success Village last year, and we continue to follow what's going on. And knock on wood, I have not heard from a Success Village resident really so far this winter. Things have been going really well, and I'm hoping it is still continuing. We have attorney Barry Knott here, though, with the very latest. I saw you were in court this week with your latest report on the complex. Barry, welcome back. What can you tell us? First of all, am I right in saying that the heat and hot water, they seem to be working, fingers crossed?
Yes, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for asking me to share my experiences in court yesterday. As to heat and hot water, yes, it has been operational since the end of October, subject to rolling heat outs that are caused by leaks in the 85-year-old steam system, steam pipe system, rather. These pipes are located underground. They leak often. We've got a maintenance crew on site that runs out and repairs the leaks, but while the repairs are going on, some people do not have heat and hot water. But this has been going on for decades and will continue to go on for decades until we resolve this underground steam pipe problem. I did have a hearing in court yesterday afternoon before Judge Radcliffe, at which time I reported that we're increasing the minimum income requirement to $4,000 per month with a 650 credit score. It had been $2,000 per month in 2022 with a 650 credit score, but we're raising these limits to comply with the minimum income requirement for a family of four in the Bridgeport area, which is approximately $50,000 per year. We've reduced this requirement to writing so that we will apply it evenly above all applicants so as not to avoid any Commission on Human Rights problems. As I indicated recently with a city council meeting, we have $5.5 million in debt. I'm trying to borrow $6 million to cover this accounts payable. We've reached out to local banks, including Milford Bank, M&T Bank, and Fairfield County Bank. Milford and M&T are interested in considering the application. Fairfield County Bank was not interested in taking our application. We've also spoken to the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority and the Connecticut Department of Housing. Connecticut Housing Finance Authority is a quasi-government institution which is designed to lend money to this type of an entity. However, the program is set up for single-family houses and multifamily houses, and condos fall in the single-family house category, but there is no category for co-ops for some reason. I think the reason is because there are very few co-ops in the state of
But there that's sort of a, you know, that's interesting, Attorney Knott. That needs to be, I would think, changed. I don't know if that's something that comes down to them making just that change or if that's like a legislative change. But that, I mean, whether or not there's a lot of co-ops or not, I feel like that's, I mean, you're talking about over 2,000 people now not being able, because I'd imagine they're not going to take your request.
Well, no, we've actually just had discussions with them, and they're going back to the regulatory people to see if they can amend the regulation.
Oh, good.
It may require a special act of legislature, or it might be able to be handled administratively, but CHFA is looking into the situation because everybody agrees that co-ops and condos are they're different, but they're the same.
They're essentially the same, though, same kind of dwellings. You let me know, Attorney Knott, if it's not moving along fast enough or if you need me to call on anyone or put pressure on this. I have no issue, you know, making calls and doing what needs to be done. So let me know. Keep me posted.
I also had a conference call with the Connecticut Commissioner of the Department of Housing. And they may be interested in providing a grant to Success, which would help us pay off approximately half of the $5.5 million in accounts payable that we are currently living with.
Right.
So we're proceeding further in that regard.
And Attorney Knott, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically until we can get any grants or any help with this, this falls on the residents, right? They're going to have to pay back this money, even though they're not the ones who committed the I'm going to say, I don't want to say fraud, but essentially they're not the ones who stole the money. The money is gone. We don't know. It hasn't been confirmed yet where that money went, but they have to pay the bill. They got to foot the bill.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct. And it's an untenable situation, which I've got to get resolved, and I'm working towards resolving it.
Yeah.
In that regard, Success has taken back about 10 or 12 units by foreclosure over the previous years and currently owns 10 or 12 units, which are now sitting vacant. And we've made arrangements with a broker to list these units. They vary in value for between $45,000 and $90,000. 13 units have closed in the last 52 weeks for an average sales price of $72,000. 5 units are under contract right now. And I've offered these units to some of the creditors that we have. Of the $5.5 million, we owe approximately $800,000 to people who have sued and obtained judgments against Success during the previous administration.
Sure.
And I'm offering these units to them in lieu of a cash payment.
That's smart.
Yeah. And some of them are considering it.
Okay.
And the broker, and I've engaged the broker to sell the rest of the units. So we should pick up some money there.
Well, and what a time to do that, Attorney Knott. It's smart because we, you know, are also living in a housing crisis. And so, you know, there's certainly a demand for affordable housing.
Coming into the spring market, too, is the best time of the year to be putting property on the market.
Exactly. That's a good idea.
I've also been having monthly meetings together with my on-the-mark people with representatives of the UI and the gas company to whom we owe $1.5 million. And we're working out payment arrangements with them.
Mm.
They've been very cooperative with us. And I think we're going to be able to resolve the accounts payable to the utilities without litigation.
Attorney Knott, can I ask you a really quick question? Only because you mentioned on the mark. My understanding from a lot of the residents in the beginning, when it was like checks were getting in late or they weren't going at all, my understanding is they're paying these checks, but it's going to a state like out west or something.
Nevada.
Why?
It's not going to Nevada. It's going to. There is a bank that has. That is located in Nevada, okay,
mm-hmm.
But the banking is done in the cloud, which I just bought a phone system in the cloud, and I, for one, have a problem with dealing in the cloud. But OnTheMark has been dealing with this bank, and it facilitates the deposit and payment of funds. So
yeah.
And they're using it throughout all the complexes that they manage. I don't have a problem with this. It's we've checked into this facility into this. It's not a lender. It's a bank.
Yeah.
That handles checking accounts primarily.
And everything is kind of going that way, Attorney Knott. I mean, I know that it's not ideal for especially seniors to do their banking online, but it is becoming the norm with a lot of different things. Technological advances are becoming the norm for a lot. I mean, you can't even go to a restaurant without getting a physical menu. You got to look it up on your phone a lot of the time. So I do understand that, but that was a question I had quickly that came from the residents.
Most importantly, there is a balance of $312,000 as of yesterday in residents who have not paid their maintenance charge. $312,000. That is up from $193,000 when I took over. So the people who are not paying their maintenance charges have increased from $193,000 to $312,000 in 4 months. Now, why would that be?
Yeah.
That could only be for two reasons. One is they did not put aside the money that they were advised not to pay in rent and to escrow, and they don't have the money. That's one reason. Or they feel that Success is not going to succeed, and they're just not paying because they want to live there for free until Success ultimately fails. Those are the only two reasons I can think of why the amount of maintenance charges, which have not been paid, would have
increased
doubled.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Not
a little less than
doubled,
that.
But but it's not good. And no. As a result of that, we have to increase the monthly maintenance charges, and we are going to do so by 20% come July 1 of this year. I made the court aware of that yesterday, and we are now, when I was first appointed, we were not aggressive with foreclosures because we needed the people to get their feet under them, mm-hmm. and I needed to get my feet under me before sure. I determined who needed to be foreclosed out and who didn't. So we laid off in the beginning. Maybe that's another reason why people have been holding back their maintenance charges, because they knew that I was not going to be foreclosing.
Right.
Now I am. Now we are going to get aggressive with people who have not paid their maintenance fees. I've engaged an attorney to initiate foreclosure proceedings against people, and we're going to be moving forward on that regard, because we cannot afford not to collect maintenance fees from people who are living there.
Well, and not for nothing, Attorney Knott, but like we just talked about, I mean, we still have to, unfortunately, even though that doesn't fall on the residents, it shouldn't. But until we can recoup that $5.5 million or so, someone's got to pay for that. And so that we already knew was going to be divvied out on the residents. And so now how is that fair for the residents who are paying that they've now got to recoup this $312,000 on top of that? I mean, it's not fair. You know, but it's also not fair to the people who are actually paying, and now they've got to cover for the people who are not paying, essentially. So
that's exactly right. The other thing is, we've now discovered that there are vacant units, probably owned by Success, which during the previous administration were rented out to non-members, people who did not own membership at Success.
I heard about this. Through the grapevine, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whoever was doing this is pocketing the rent and not paying Success.
Mm.
So we have now initiated an investigation into that situation. And, I mean, that's larceny.
Right.
So to the extent that that's happening, they're...
That's being looked at too.
Criminal prosecutions involved in that.
Well, Attorney Knott, I am glad that we are checking back in with you, because obviously we knew your work was not done, but I didn't realize, you know, certainly with the finance end of things, you know, what's happening, and certainly now being more aggressive with foreclosures, it's important to get those updates out there. And so you will certainly be hearing from me again very, very soon. But I appreciate these updates and letting us know what happened in court this week. Thank you so much.